I'm going to talk to you tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is going to write, is writing the church at Corinth. He writes them two letters. The first letter that he writes them, the letter we're in tonight, is a letter where the whole letter, he scolds them for just about every modern day church problem that there is. And I am grateful for the book of 1 Corinthians because it helps us so much. It is a church planter's manual. I remember I was preaching at a conference in Myanmar and way up in the north, just at the Chin State border there where you can't go into. And I was there and I was speaking to pastors and they wanted someone to teach 1 Corinthians. And even in those remote regions, 75 pastors said, "We have these problems. Please teach us from this. This is modern day church problem in every culture to which you can go." And Paul writes to this church at Corinth and he's going to write them about specific things, but in this passage, Paul is going to chasten them just a little bit on an understanding that we ought not to have tribes within our churches, to have leaders to whom we aspire or cling. I fear when I watch popular personalities rise up in our movement and people gather around those personalities, and as if one man is greater than another. There are great men that we've met along the way, but no man and no woman is greater than another person at all. We're human. God may have gifted them in one way or another, but the fact is that we ought not to have tribes. Notice, if you would please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. And really, really, let me just start in one because it's simple. "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal." So he's already differentiated the congregation. He's saying, "I wanted to write to you like you were spiritual people, but I can't." Why? What's the opposite of spiritual? Carnal, of things of the flesh. And now, I mean, I don't want to say he's insulting them, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he just called them out for who they were. They were carnal people. And he said, "I wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but I couldn't because you were as carnal." Verse 1, the last part, "even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." So not only are they carnal, they're carnal babies with a baby's diet. Verse 3, "and ye are yet carnal." It wasn't as if they were carnal. He said, "you're still carnal. You're still secular, worldly. For wherein," watch these words now, "there as there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Those troubles in churches affect a church's ability to evangelize its community. When we are busy with envying, strife, and divisions, we're fighting with each other, we're envious of one another, and we are dividing amongst each other. That's the behavior of carnal people. And when we have carnal people behaving in the church, it takes us off mission. It takes us off our message. Verse 4, "while one saith," here's the tribes, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos." And in fact, if we went back to chapter 1, there was one more leader. "I'm of Cephas," Peter. Well, you say, well, what do they mean, "I am"? As if, well, if Paul led me to Christ, does that make me a better Christian? Well, clearly not. He called them babies and carnal. If Apollos led me to Christ, does that make me better than another? No, because he called them babies and carnals. And even back in chapter 1, he refers to Cephas or Peter. And he's now calling them babes and carnal, and their diet is that of a baby's diet. He said, "who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Watch the teamwork here. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Now, he that planteth and he that watereth, watch those words, are one. Remember the three sins: envying, divisions, and strife? When we understand who we are in Christ, That oneness is there. So we see in verse number 5 and 6 and 7, there are jobs within the work of Christ, but it is God who gives the increase. And then he says in verse 8, now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. Note carefully the phrase, laborers together. Missions is just that. It is together. Notice the idea of together. I made reference the other night to how much I enjoyed being with Pastor Knickerbocker and his family and his in-laws. And Pastor Knickerbocker's dad, Brother Pete, is here. And we go back a long way. And we've been friends of the family a long time. And I so much enjoy just being able to sit with the family and connect with them. And there's a sense of togetherness. But family is a wonderful picture of understanding what together can be. Most of the time, you're in France. And most of the time, you're here. Are you together? Well, yes, as a family. Geographically, no, but you're knit together. It's the same in missions. Brother Pratt, come help me for just a sec. If you don't mind, I'll promise to be kind to your back. This won't hurt when I drop you, I promise. So Brother Pratt is a missionary. And so as he, well, just stand here in the middle because I'm OCD about this and you have to stand right on that block. Thank you. And so, no. Here, you, look, your shoes fit on that tile. Mine take two. Stop laughing. And so here, join hands with me if you would, please. This is a sign of solidarity. We're together in the same 4 or 6 or 8 blocks, tiles here, and we're together. But now, would you go toward that microphone, and I'll go toward this speaker? Are we together? Well, no, but yes. We're together. He's my brother in Christ. We're standing on the same set of blocks or tiles. We're not together, but we are together. As when family is separated. My son lives in Florida. I pay taxes in North Carolina. We have a house there. We're together, but we're not always together. We're together, but not always together. So, if you'll come back this way, if this is a work where we are laborers together, what keeps us together? Tomorrow, this week, my son called me and he said, Dad, are you in town this week? Which is a very typical question. And I said, no, I'm in the Philadelphia area and I will be home on Thursday. He said, well, I'm flying to Charlotte on Thursday. I said, well, what time do you land? He said, 12:20. I said, I land at 12:10. He said, can we have lunch? I said, yes, we can have lunch. So we'll be together. But we're together right now. I mean, we're united by the text messaging. You understand that. But there are times where distances keep us apart. But when you think about our missionaries, what is it that will keep us together? We believe the Pratts will go and they will plant and they will water and God will give the increase. But if we're going to be joined together as missionary and church, what keeps us together? You can be seated. I'll finish by myself now. Thanks. I have to tell you something. I'm going to look at two books tonight, Corinthians, the church at Corinth, the church at Rome. In Romans and Corinthians, Paul writes of being together. To the church at Rome, he had never been with them before. But yet he said he was together. He's 500 miles from one place when he writes, 200 miles from another place when he writes, and he says we're together. And when I consider what missions is, we are trusting these missionaries to go somewhere and do something but for Christ, but we got to keep ourselves together. And so with that being the thought of that we are laborers together with God, I want to point to a few things tonight that come to mind. Go with me, if you would, please, just back one book to the book of Romans, and we'll only be either in Romans or any of the Corinthians tonight. So go with me to Romans chapter number 1, and I want to show you four simple things tonight that show or keep us together or bring us together with our missionaries. India is 12,000 miles, I don't know, 10,000 miles from here, something. 8,500 miles. Nobody says 8,500. 8,500 miles. Okay, 8,500. Yes. 8,500 miles away. That's a long trip. I've been there. It is a long trip. How are we going to stay together with them? How are we going to stay together with Stephen and Julie? How are we going to stay together with Brother Odison? How are we going to stay together with the Browns? And that guy, I don't even remember. Finley, Brother Finley. How are we going to stay together with them? Well, here's the first thing. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. These are simple points, I promise you, tonight, but they are important points to grasp. Verse 11, Paul said, For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. Paul said, I want to get there. I want to teach you. I want to help you. So you are established. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. The first thing that keeps us together with our missionaries is what we believe, if you will, our faith. Paul calls it this mutual faith. We ask our missionaries at Worldwide what they believe. Every year we ask them to sign a doctrinal agreement with our missions agency. Why? Brother Pete, how many years did you sign I don't even know how many years you signed these doctrinal statements. Year after year you sign them and you say, I believe this. We're asking Brother Pratt, go be a missionary. And our faith, this mutual faith of what you believe, pastors vetted them to make sure their doctrine is right, their faith is right, they believe the Word of God correctly. Each of these men, in fact, Brother Pratt and I were speaking yesterday of some dear brethren that we know, of mutual friends of ours. They work with our agency. Our Brother Pratt knows them. And he said, these are good men on the basis of the Bible. And that's the mutual faith. We believe the same. And so when we try to find missionaries here at the church, we are comforted together because they believe Scripture the same as we do. They believe salvation the same as we do. They believe about the Savior the same as we do. They believe the Lord is returning the same as we do. They believe about the soul of men the same as we do. They believe about the church the same as we do. So there's this idea of the mutual faith that while Brother Pratt and his family may be over there, and we may be 8,500 miles over here, what brings us together? Our faith. We believe the same. Number two, go with me to 2 Corinthians now. So you're going to skip where we were just a moment ago and go with me to 2 Corinthians. The first one is there, then 16 chapters through there, and you get to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 1. The second thing that brings us together with our missionaries. One, our faith brings us together. Number two, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. This is a double one, if you will, but there's something else that brings us together, both suffering and consolation. Our brother Pratt shared with us that he's experienced physical and abuse for being a missionary and a preacher of the gospel. You say, well, I thought those were days gone by. No,
I can remember in the early days in Romania when after Ceausescu died that Brother Danny Whetstone, my colleague and co-worker, we went to Romania. We met with a pastor. I remember specifically his name was John Zacharias. And every Sunday night, they would pick him up from church, beat him mercilessly, and send him home on Monday and said, "We'll be back on Sunday if you preach." And they would pick him back up again. This is not the only time. There are Christians who are killed even to this day for their faith. Well, I rejoice we've only known a predominantly persecution-free Christianity. But as you heard our brother say, that it is that persecution, that suffering, that purifies. He said, "I don't think I understand what he meant." And I'm clearly not trying to put words in your mouth. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. But he's saying it makes a stronger faith in the congregation. And it weeds out those who are just casual in their Christianity. And when I look at this, our brother shares his plight of what is going on. And we listen to that, and what happens to our heart? Our heart is drawn, even though he may be 8,500 miles away, and we on this side and he on that side. We're comforted together, not just because of suffering, but also rejoicing. As he shares about the victories and the blessings that God has done, you think about Stephen and Julie's presentation last night of how they shared with us of what God was doing and how God brought them people and how there are men that they have to train and men to look forward to say, these are the fellows that we could work with in the future if God just continues to use them, and the people that God brought to get the design of the building and all those things. We are brought together by our consolation to say, what a wonderful testimony of praise. And yet, at the same time, we're brought together with suffering. When you read those missionaries' prayer letters and you share in that, and you say, we gave to that, we prayed for them, and we see this. Paul said in verse number 11, seven, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be the consolation. So there's this togetherness of when our missionaries suffer and when they rejoice, we sense that. I sensed your empathy when I shared with you about the prayer request just before I spoke. Why? Because you say, I know somebody who committed suicide. Someone in my own family committed suicide. A neighbor down the street, and you say, I remember that trauma, and it's so hard to explain. And then on top of that, how do you explain that to kids? Well, that empathy is the togetherness. While this is my first time to come here, there's a sense of togetherness that we have because I shared with you a heartfelt need, and you received that heartfelt need, and some of you will pray for that heartfelt need. That is the same togetherness. What keeps us together when we're 8,500 miles apart? Our faith. What else? Our suffering and our consolation. When our missionaries go through high times and low times, we're there. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Even though number two was really 2 points, I want you to see the third thing. Look at verse number 11. Ye also, so you remember in 7, he called them partakers. Now he says in 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. He said, wait a minute. They're several hundred miles apart. How are they helping together? Doesn't matter where you are. You can pray from anywhere. And what does prayer do? Prayer brings us together. Paul said, I see this as help. When he is 200 miles away from Corinth, 500 miles away from Rome, and he's saying, you're helping me. How am I helping? By praying. I remember one night, a mutual friend of Brother Pete's and mine, a missionary, used to serve in Siberia. And when he left Siberia because of state government, he had federal approval to be there, but the state government refused him. And so he had to leave, and he went to Alaska, and he began to serve in Alaska. One morning I'm in Virginia. And it's quite early in the morning, and I'm driving down the road, and at that point I had a fifth wheel trailer behind my truck. Now I'm driving down the road, and a state trooper passes me. I was not going fast. You don't go fast with a fifth wheel trailer. And I was on a two-lane road, and he comes past me, and as I looked over at him, he keyed up his radio, he was talking, and you could tell that. And just as he passed me, the slide outs in my RV started coming out. The frequency of the state trooper's radio was the same frequency that let the RV slides come out at the same time while you're driving down the road, which is the most awkward of situations, because then I looked up when I'm starting, it's all surreal at that point. You just look and say, what just happened? My slide outs are coming out. And I look and say, how am I going to get off the road? And I'm in a tobacco field, not in it, but driving through it. And on that side is a ditch, and on this side is a ditch. And then I look ahead. This is just seconds. And then there's a tractor trailer coming. This is not going to end well. I mean, literally, this is what I'm thinking. And I finally find a spot just to get over, just enough wheels hanging over toward the ditch. Not over the ditch, but, you know, just kind of off the road as far as I can. Slide outs are fully extended. Tractor trailer comes whizzing by. I exhale. I pull off the side of the road. I am stunned. And my phone rings. And where I am is 7 o'clock in the morning. And where Ernie Weirich, my friend, is, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know. I took the call. I looked. I thought, there's got to be a problem. Now I'm in my own drama going on right here. And I looked down. I thought, okay. And I said, hey, Brother Ernie. He said, Brother John, he said, God just woke me up. And Nancy and I got on our knees and prayed for you just a moment ago. Is everything all right? I said, it is now. What brought us together? I mean, Alaska's 5,000 miles away. How are we brought to prayer? Helping together by prayer. You said prayer doesn't do anything. Paul was convinced it did. The Holy Spirit of God was convinced it did. You help when you pray. Our faith brings us together. Our suffering brings us together. Our consolation brings us together. Our prayers bring us together. What if God gets you up at one night? Now, see, I don't think I'm that spiritual, just truthfully. 3 a.m., and I'm up, and God lays on my heart. I don't think I'm getting out of bed. I can lay there and pray, but 3 a.m., get out of bed and pray? And then call me immediately? How did I get through that situation? It wasn't me. It was not my driving ability. It was not anything but helping together by prayer. By the way, when I called the trailer manufacturer, he said, yeah, it happens all the time. What do we have to replace? I thought, it happens all the time. What about a recall? Do you know how much stress there was? Number four. The last thing I want to bring to your attention, go back to Romans 15. So skip back over 1 Corinthians, go to Romans in the 15th chapter. And I want to point to something here. Romans chapter 15. And this, I recognize, is quite properly a teaching lesson. But I want to leave you with these points as you ponder what God has you to do as you embark on a new giving year in your missions. That it is, number one, our faith which brings us together. That's what got Brother Pratt and his family here. He believes like us. Suffering and consolation as we watch with Stephen and Julie and when they lost their child and the sufferings through which they went. Our brother serving in Papua New Guinea. I don't even know, but I can tell you what I know about there. It's just hardship after hardship. And 60, 70, 80% of your time is spent just trying to live. And you get through these problems. And I think about the Browns in Cambodia getting ready to go back and face unknown. And yet in all of these things, our faith brought us together. Their suffering will bring us together. Their consolation will bring us together. And in every place we go with our missionaries,
We're together. 8,500 miles apart? Yes. But what brings us together? Faith, suffering, consolation, prayer, and lastly, Romans chapter number 15, verse number 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, there's that word partakers, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When I have therefore performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Do you know what brings us together? Not just faith, not just suffering, not just consolation, not just prayer, but giving. Giving is what brings us together. There is nothing, if you will, mystical about these cards. There's nothing, if you'll allow me to say, it's a very carnal word, but I think you'll understand it. And there's nothing magical about these cards. It's just a piece of cardboard. But what it does is it connects us together with our missionaries. We're able to say, I have a part in that work. That's a tremendous thing to say. What does that? Giving. Now, you may give and should give in the tithe. That's a part of the Christian's, goodness gracious, it's like rent on the land. We live on this earth. We ought to give God his due. He asked for 10%. We ought to give that and more. And then we have this. And this is, if the tithe recognizes him as creator, then this offering clearly has to recognize him as savior of what he's done for us. And this giving is what brings us together. Brother Pratt, one more time. Do you mind coming? I'm just trying to exercise your back so you don't hurt too much. Stand here with me if you would. And what's that? Same blocks, yes. Ray, come help me if you would. Because this would be more proper if you did it. More proper? Or is it proper? I have no idea. Would you hold this properly? Oh, that's an adverb. We don't use those. Join the card. Yeah, okay. This hand. This. There we go. It's not hard. Really, it's not. Giving brings us together. Now, what if you're 8,500 miles away? Off you go. You keep the card. Over here. 8,500 miles away, please. Hurry. There you go. I'm union. I've got a break coming. What is going to keep you together? This. Because what happens? It travels. And he receives it and says, they remembered me. And then next week, or the next offering, he gives it. Zizz it. And comes back. And it keeps us together. It's not just our faith. And it... No stealing. Our faith keeps us together. When you suffer, we suffer with you. When you rejoice, we rejoice with you. When you ask us to pray, we pray with you. And when you have a need, we give. That's what keeps us together. You may be seated. Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't mean to wake you up, Ray. Sorry. It's okay. Earlier, I was praying with Brother Pratt, and the Lord just touched my heart about your generosity. There are probably people in this church who have no tablet at all and may not even want one, or maybe it's a desire to have one, but you don't have one. And tonight, you gave two to a missionary. Do you mean to tell me you think they'll be able to pick that up and not think of you and remember they were loved? And to realize how good is God that he would bless them? I mean, we want these kids educated, right? I mean, please let them grow up and be something. We want that. And so you gave to that. For some, it may not be. It's like, we've got tablets. Our tablets have tablets. And that's okay.
But the truth is that you demonstrated the love of Christ. You showed them we're together. We may not understand everything you face in India. We may not smell the smog or see the smog. We may not understand what water is like there. We may not understand what bathing conditions are like. We may not understand what living conditions are like. We may not understand all of the things that are unique to India's culture. But know this, you're not alone, we're together. Our faith, your suffering, your praises, our prayers, and our giving. Would you stand?